What are we? What makes us what we are? And what we're gonna be? I think it's that right there. It's grit.
And we're back. The All Grit Podcast. How we feeling, fellas? What a crazy game we just got over on Sunday afternoon football here. Caleb, your humble host with Adrian and Plax. Plax looking like
Stephen A. Smith over here.
Is that the one that you just got with your dad?
It is. Just eagerly looking for an opportunity to throw it on again. Was able to dust it off. Figured it was appropriate for the occasion.
For those of you not watching, Plax has a black, what looks to be like a Garth Brooks type cowboy hat. It looks very good, very clean. Adrian, how you feeling, buddy?
Very clean. Mixed emotions. Most of all, you know, super happy with the Lions, how they performed. Like just today, everyone's talking about us. Just the butt whooping that we gave the Cowboys, which was a historic butt whooping. Mm-hmm. Just the numbers, how many points we put up to their offense. So great game, and we'll get into it. We'll talk about Hutch.
Yeah, we'll get into it all. Yeah. I want to get our sponsor in quick, and then we'll get right into Hutch because I don't want to spend too much time on it. It's too depressing. So this week's sponsor comes to you from Plax. Plax, what you got for us?
We have a very special shout out, special sponsor this week. Is from the Iron Sanctuary Gym in Flint, Michigan, ran by our good friend Duante Robertson. Are you looking for a personal trainer? Looking to transform your body this winter? Check out this week's sponsor, Iron Sanctuary in Flint, Michigan. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook. You can find Duante at Duante_GymLifeMedia, and that's all one word. It's at @DAWANTA_GymLifeMedia. And if you don't live in Flint, he also offers virtual trainings so you can get a good workout in wherever you're located. No one gets you results like Duante. And if you have some little ones tagging along with you, not to worry. At Iron Sanctuary, they have a childcare facility built right into the gym.
That's perfect.
Thank them. It's a one-stop shop. How are our boy Duante? Thank you so much for this week's sponsor.
Awesome. Thank you, Duante. I might bring my kids over there and just let you watch them while I get my workout in. That's actually brilliant if you think about it. So
I love it.
Appreciate the sponsor. All right, man. Well, like we said, what a historic day, but all of us, we still left with a little bit of a gut punch. Hutch out for the year, broken tibia, had surgery on it at a local hospital that night, and estimated time of return, I believe is eight months, something around there, eight to 10
months.
So yeah, done for the year. If we're playing in a Super Bowl and he wants to maybe test it, he could come back for that. But any thoughts? I mean, it's just, I'll let you guys take it from here. I'm too depressed to talk about it.
Dave, I want to hear your thoughts. I haven't talked to you about it.
Yeah, you know, it was just sitting there on the couch, cruising to a nice little victory. Everything's feeling good. A couple brewskis in hand. And I see, I'm like, you know, there's Hutch, gets in, good pressure. I see him kind of slow down at the end and then, but still, like, finish the tackle. And then I just looked down, wrote some notes, and I look back up, and it's all hands on deck. I was like, what the heck? And, yeah, did not understand the severity at first. And then it was like you can just tell by, you know, the announcers, Tom Brady, the guys on the field, you could just tell it's one of those ones, this is different. And, you know, I don't know the guy personally, but he seems like a good dude. Not only is it such a loss for the football team, but, you know, man, it's hard to see, hate to see anybody come out with something like that. that gruesome. So that sucked. That definitely put some pee-pee in the water.
Yep.
Because, I mean, the game they played so in all facets. But that one's tough. We're going to have to rally the troops by committee to try and help replace him. But, yeah, it's a tough loss for sure.
So, Adrian, I'd like to get your thoughts on it. It's kind of, you kind of put some stuff here in the notes. Do you think it's time with this injury for the GM to go ahead and reach out, or do you think we have enough in-house and on the practice squad?
It's hard for me to say because I am not a coach and I'm not there every day to watch practice to see how the guys are performing. But I would like to see Brad Holmes at least get some people in for tryouts. You know, maybe a Tuesday tryout. There's guys sitting on the couch right now, like Ngakoue, Yannick Ngakoue. He's out there just as a free agent. And of course, the trade market. So the trade deadline is November 9th, I believe, like 3 weeks from tomorrow. It's November 4th or November 9th. I don't expect the Lions to make any moves in the following 2 weeks. Most teams usually wait to see how things play out. Like, let me give you a good example, the Bengals. So if the Bengals keep winning the next couple of weeks, you know, they're going to try to push this season. But let's say they just lose the next three games and they're 3-6. They might make a decision to just kind of blow things up and sell. And towards the trade deadline, that's when Brad Holmes would probably make a move for someone like Trey Hendrickson or someone that makes sense. But probably not going to happen anytime soon. They're probably going to try out a couple players and keep kicking the tires on guys that they have in-house on the practice squad. But like Dave, I think every Lions fan went through the five stages of grief. when Hutch was down, you know, shock, denial, why us? Just upset, depressed. And once they had the card out there, it was
broken
on the wall, you know, like his season's over. And it was sad to see that. But if it's going to happen to anyone, Hutch, I think, is the strongest guy on this team mentally. He's the most mentally strong guy we have on the team to overcome an injury. So I have no doubt that it's definitely not going to affect his career. He's going to come back not stronger in the beginning, but he's going to come back to a level where he can definitely play elite. And then just build off from there and continue what he was doing the last few
seasons. Definitely more of a spring off of his jump with that metal rod in there. It's going to give him a little bit of a little bit of a spring moving forward, a little faster get off.
Yep. I will say this before we move on from Hutch, though. You know, it took me, you know, just sleeping on it just the whole day, really upset. Just, you know, it feels for a lot of Lions fans like our season may be over. But I just want to say it's definitely not over. There's so many teams that have won the Super Bowl without one of their best players. For example, the Philadelphia Eagles a couple years ago, they lose their starting quarterback who was having an MVP season. And then the playoffs come and they have to lean on their backup quarterback, Nick Foles, and he wins them a Super Bowl. So, you know, Hutch is really important to this team, but it doesn't mean we can't still go for the big one.
Plax, you got a thought too.
Yeah, I'll just a little bit of positivity it took away from it. You know, they had a few medical experts on SportsCenter and stuff. And a lot of times those clean breaks, while they look absolutely disgusting, tend to be a better comeback process as opposed to like a torn Achilles or an ACL.
Yeah.
You know, like Zach Zinner, tackle for Michigan, he had the almost identical injury in the last game of the year. Last year against Ohio State, and he was able to get drafted, and he's in the games right now.
Right. So
it looks bad. I think he'll be able to come back strong and still be the same type of player. But of course, it's all sparked a lot of trade talk and things like that. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. I don't really want to mortgage the whole future on someone too big, but you know, I trust Holmes that he's going to be turned over all logs and rocks and seeing what's available out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we're all in agreement that although we would love Crosby, we don't want to mortgage the future for that, right?
No.
100%.
I mean, something reasonable, like there's the Darius Smith, you know, with like a fourth round pick or something like that.
That oh, you Darius, that's yeah. a name I completely forgot about. That's a good one. But like you said, you have all these teams, Vegas Raiders, you have Cleveland Browns, you have potentially Cincinnati Bengals. You know, you can throw in even a Patriots team. These teams that are just not doing well right now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All we have to do is look at their team and just wait for the trade deadline, you know, and make yeah. our – whatever our weakness is, if it's defensive end, we can just call those teams and try to get something. So don't forget my projection from, I believe, 2 weeks ago. Reddick is still out there on the couch. He needs to play for a team to get allow other teams to then draft yeah. or, you know, take care of him next year. So
yeah,
I'm still holding out hope that he can come in and just wreak havoc. He can just pick up right where Hutch left off. So we'll see.
We'll see.
All right, let's talk. All right. Bad thoughts out, good thoughts in. Let's talk about that offense, baby.
We're 4-1.
I mean, I already know where Plax is putting – I mean, this is going to be 3 weeks in a row. He's giving the game ball to somebody. But no, what about this?
I promise myself I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it again.
You got like, to. Man. He deserves it even more. All right, what do you – comments on offense. Let's start with Demo.
Dude, ahead, Demo, he gets a nice extension on Saturday, and you knew that this was going to be his game. You know, you knew that he was going to give 110% on this one, and did he. He only had 12 carries. He only had 12 carries, but it felt like he was all over the place this game. I don't know why, but it was only 12 carries for 80 yards, but... Man, two touchdowns, running really hard each time. I feel bad admitting this, but Demo is way better of a player than I expected when we got him in free agency. Same. Like, we got him in free agency, I'm like, cool, we did upgrade our running back room. But I guess, you know, not being a Bears fan, I hadn't really watched him. And he has just each year gotten better. It's awesome to watch. I'm glad he's on our side.
Amen. Plax?
Couldn't agree more. That's one thing I was thinking too, Adrian. Like, he only had 12 touches. It was the same thing in the last game. You just think he's got the ball in his hands like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in the last game, he had 12 or 11. So he makes the most of it every time he touches the ball. He's really starting to get the publicity now in the league. It's just, you know, the dude just runs hard. And yes. I had to. I knew when we got him from Chicago, we got a good, pretty good upgrade. Didn't really know how good, but, you know, you put him behind the best offensive line. He just seems like someone who's, you know, he doesn't take any plays off.
Yeah.
So he had some another game, another big run. It's like every week.
Stacking them together. Yeah, I remember him in Chicago, and I always thought he was a little shifty bat, a little bowling ball, shifty. And was hard to bring down. I never remember him just being like top five running backs in the league. But when he's behind this offensive line, he's one of the top. I mean, behind Derrick Henry,
yeah,
he's number two. I mean,
yeah,
who's better than him right now?
Yeah, because once he can get past the defensive line, you know, the big 200, 300 pound guys, when he goes against linebackers, safeties, and corners. Bro, he's bullying them. He makes it look like I could go out there and do that. Obviously, I can't, but he just looks amazing out there once he gets to the secondary.
Yep. So, great pickup. Great pickup. What about J-Mo? J-Mo continues to just improve week to week. I love, and I know you guys are going to talk about this, I love the slant he ran and dropped it. And why do I love that? Because it's what happened the play right after. I mean, yeah. Ben Johnson deliberately said, no. You need confidence. We're going to go right back to you. We're going to throw a harder ball. And he catches the harder of the two passes. And he gets up and does his little thing. Just giving him all the confidence in the world to continue to improve to be that number, a good number two, or shall we say 1A, 1B to Amon-Ra.
Yeah. Yeah, that first one was a house call, man. Like that. He was on that slant. He catches that. He's taking that to the house on the outside. Yep. But, that was awesome to see. You know, they're giving him the jet sweeps. They're getting him the right targets on the right plays. He gets that nice touchdown catch on Diggs, you know, celebrates in front of their best corner. I loved it. So, you know, it's J-Mo, you know, he's at the point where, you know, when last year when he made a touchdown like that in a long throw, it was like, oh, sweet. Like it felt like a gift. But right. Now we expect it each game. Like, when is he going to get that long play? And we expect it every game now. He's at that level. He's doing awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, he's lightning in a bottle, man. And it everything he does, it just looks easy. He's so smooth with it. You know, he's not, you know, a 10, 15 a game catch guy right now. But he's getting it for, you know, Ben Johnson's not realizing, but he's earned his way into getting more and more touches, more plays drawn his way. And it's like every time he touches the ball, you kind of – it's must-see TV. So he had another great game. I wrote the same thing down. Caleb, he had that one, hit him right in the chest, came right back, boom. Next, and it's behind us.
Yep. So the only other offensive player that stood out to me was the person who was thrown to one time the entire game. You know who I'm talking about?
Laporta.
Yeah, one catch for what, a 50-yard touchdown. I mean, the dude, and as soon as Goff threw it and I saw where Laporta was, I'm like, he overthrew him. And Laporta's fingers got underneath that ball, and oh my gosh, was it beautiful. And it almost seemed like he had to pull up at the end. He was going to pull a hammy or something, but he just dove in the end zone. It was a beautiful play to a tight end.
I love that guy, man. He's so humble, but he's so good. You know, at Iowa, he was the offense. You see his Iowa highlights, and he could demand more from Ben Johnson, but he's just ready to play whatever they give him. Like, I'm ready to block the whole game if that's what he needs to do.
Yep.
I love Sam, man. He's awesome to have on the team.
He's just as good of a blocker as he is a catcher. I mean,
yeah.
You know, a good tight end is when, you know, he makes a catch and you kind of forgot about him the whole game.
Right.
Because he just blends in, pulls the edge well, doesn't really make too many mistakes. But then when he's able to really get loose and show his athleticism. But, yeah, I thought for sure he was overthrown, but he stretched out two hands, snagged it. Beautiful play.
So I don't have the stats. Maybe Adrian, you have them pulled up, or maybe, excuse me, maybe Plax does. But I believe Sam Laporta had one throw. J-Mo had three, and Amon-Ra had four, something like that. That's but right. Oh, you do have them.
Yeah, let's check it out right here.
Yeah, can you pull our
targets right here?
Just receptions. Reception, yeah, 3-4. No, Khalif is 4. J-Mo's 3. And then where's I can't see. Amon-Ra's 4. But doesn't that blow your mind? If I told you we scored 47 points and Amon-Ra caught 4 balls, Laporta caught 1, J-Mo caught 3, you would say you're
high. Look how spread it is, man.
You'd say you're high. Yeah. How did we score that much with that low production from our receivers?
The key is in the average per catch. Look at this. 25 average, 18, 22, 52, 9, basically 10 each. There's the key.
Thank you, Adrian.
Average yards per catch.
Pull that out, man. That's sick.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yep.
Beautiful. All right. We got a new contract with Demo. We kind of mentioned that, or maybe we didn't. Yep. We'll add that to the offensive thing. Demo just signed a 2-year extension?
Yep.
So he's with us till 2027. We're all pretty happy about that.
Yep.
We kind of talked about him a little bit. Goff, you know, 2 games in a row. I think Plax was going to bring up some stats about him. Maybe you have something, but all I heard was 153.8% QBR, something crazy. Yep. 2 weeks in a row over 150. Just
nearly perfect. Yep.
It's unbelievable.
Just a little 18 for 25, 315, 3 touchdowns.
The dude loves making 18 an 18 back to back.
Magic number.
As long as he has no turnovers, bro, I am happy. And Hendon Hooker, 83.8. Yeah, he was in there.
Did he? He did throw one. He got a completion.
One for two, 19-yard reception.
There he is.
It would have been nice to see him, you know, go for the 50 burger and keep the offensive out there with a little bit more of a. Oh man, we haven't even talked about Ben Johnson, guys. Oh my gosh. All right, before we get to him, Tim Patrick. I'm gonna let Adrian take this because he's.
Boy. Yeah, I was texting the guys during the game. I'm like, after that big initial throw in the beginning of the game, man, what a catch, dude. I think that's the best catch so far this season. I mean, that'll Chase compete with the Amon-Ra toe tap, you know, touchdown a couple weeks ago. But yeah, Tim Patrick, we talked about him in the last podcast, number 17. He had a great game, 68 yards. You know, that's third on the team for receiving in this game, and you could tell the chemistry between him and Goff is developing. Goff trusts him as a veteran. He's been in the league 9 years, and even with that, he had a touchdown stolen. Like, he was just inches from that end zone. I wish he could have reached out to get his own touchdown. The guy deserves it. But I feel so happy that we have that filler for Josh Reynolds. He's it, man. He's good.
I have to give a quick short shout out to Adrian Labra. On our last pod, Adrian said Tim Patrick, and he gave me these notes. I wrote them down. He said he's going to get 60 to 70 yards, and you just said he's got 68. I mean, dude.
And the score of the game.
You put it right in the middle.
Pretty close. That's
amazing. We won't get into Ivan's, you know. Florida, two touchdowns. Gibbs, 2 to 3 touchdowns.
Hutch, 5 sacks.
He was a little close on the score. What did he say, 60? Or he said 50. I mean, we got 47.
He said, let's see. Yeah, we had, let's see. I have it written down here. Oh, no, he said 65-0. So, yeah, he was pretty.
Shout out to Ivan.
Yep. Good stuff. All right, so we got Tim Patrick. Glad he's with us. Yep, we all agree. Let's do a little bit of a defense. Actually, before we switch to defense, Plax, your thought on our offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, and the game that he called on Sunday.
Shoot, same thing every week, seems like. Since the debacle with Tampa, I mean, just like what we said, you know, it's all these guys making such big plays, it feels like Montgomery's got the ball all the time.
Yeah.
Gibbs got the ball all the time. J-Mo. But, like, you know, everybody's just getting a few touches and we're scoring 47 points. I mean, it's so balanced. The play action is so lethal right now.
Yeah.
You know, but it's because they got to respect it. D-Mo, Gibbs, first and second down. You know, you're getting you know, you're into the second level almost every play. So – I mean, it's, you know, quarterbacks, receivers, running backs, dream offense. I mean, everything's opened up. They had the stinking double pitch back swing to Panay. What, did we get a penalty on that one? But how disgusting is that?
That was just disrespectful, bro. It's like 34-6. Like, it's game over and they're running these trick plays. Like, Ben Johnson had a personal vendetta against the Cowboys. Like, he wanted to spite them by getting some kind of lineman touchdown. Oh, yeah. He tried like 2-3 times.
Taylor Decker covered. I mean, he's covered like glue and still tries to throw it. Taylor almost pulled it in too.
Yeah.
And then we didn't even talk about Skipper lining up outside in the X receiver spot. Just ridiculous stuff. Ridiculous stuff. One complaint, maybe you guys caught this. You know, you – let's say the four-letter networks that we listen to. We don't want to shout them out because they're not paying for us. But you know, the four-letter network. I watched Get Up this morning, and they talked for the first 15 minutes about Dallas and what they didn't do, how bad they said the word Detroit 2 times in the first 15 minutes. It's so disgusting that they put so much stuff on Dallas. Then you switch over and you listen to Good Morning Football, and they started with the Lions and the Hutch and how good they played. So big shout out to Good Morning Football. Give them a listen. They're not paying us, but I don't care. They're getting a shout out right now. Because get up was disgusting. All right, real quick, defense. Any thoughts? Brian Branch. Thoughts on Brian Branch and Kirby?
Dogs. These two are arguably the best safety duo in the league right now.
Preach.
Like, who else can compare to them right now? Kirby's got like an interception every single game in the last three games. Brian Branch, two interceptions. He could have had a pick six yesterday. And just the effort from the defense. I loved the punch out by Branch. But if you guys noticed, Terrion Arnold, he first tried the punch. Love that. And I was like, yes. And then Branch comes in, he punches it out, and then Arnold recovers. Right. So I just love the mentality those guys have right now of just getting turnovers. And, you know, Terrion, no penalties. That was great. He's going to make some improvements. And, man, defense is looking good.
I thought the middle played. It was probably the best of the D tackles in the middle have played all year. I mean,
oh yeah,
we're used to Hutch getting in on the edges, but they were blowing them up inside. McNeil probably had his best game. I mean, he had the two sacks, but he was in there constantly.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He had a big sack in the second quarter when they were coming down. Yeah, he was someone that kind of popped out to me throughout the game was. Just blowing up that middle section of the offensive line.
For sure. He was finding holes and sacking Dak 10 yards deep. Now, did Reader record a sack or two for McNeil, one for Hutch? Do you have any stats on Reader?
So here's our defensive stats.
One assist. You got it, Flex?
Yeah, one tackle, one assist.
Okay, one assist, yep.
Yeah.
So the guy that came in for Hutch when he left, did he record a sack on the first play? Somebody said he recorded.
Are you talking about Trevor Nowoski?
I think it might be Nowoski.
Yeah, he did record a sack.
Unbelievable.
He's a local, man. Saginaw Valley State graduate.
Gotcha. Represent. All right. So we don't have any speak pipe questions. Did you have any IG questions, Adrian?
No IG questions today. Just comments. From our friends, just
go ahead
about Hutch. But like we mentioned earlier, we'll be able to get along without that player with us. You know, there'll be opportunities for other guys to step up. So,
did you have a shout out you wanted to give over to the UK?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, just a quick shout out to our UK listeners in the city of Westminster and Hackney. We love it that we have some listeners across the pond. So make sure you guys share the podcast wherever you live around the globe. We would love to hear from you guys. Send in your questions.
Yeah, you listeners in Westminster and Hackney, please send us a speak pipe question. We'd love to hear your thoughts. All right, we're at that time. So who fumbled the game ball? Who received the game ball? Let's start with who fumbled the game ball. Once again, we're pinching pennies again. Let's start with Adrian. Who fumbled?
I was thinking about this last night. I'm like, he's going to ask me who fumbled. And I better have a good answer because he always doesn't like who I pick. But I thought about this really hard, bro. And I have nobody on our team that fumbled. Like, honestly, this was the best all-around game I've ever seen the Lions play since Dan Campbell took over.
Wow.
It was great. It was fantastic. So if I... I'm going to give a who fumbled out. I'm going to give it to Mr. Jerry Jones for several reasons.
I like it.
Jerry Jones will not step down as a terrible GM for the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
He's insistent in his ways. And it came up in that game on Sunday with the stadium, the way it was built, with the sunset coming through.
That's hilarious. Right.
What do you mean, man? The sun was in Dak's eyes, and he throws a pick to us, you know?
One of their receivers was going to catch a deep ball, and they said the sun get in his eyes because, you know.
So yeah, exactly.
That cost him a deep throw.
So all right. Jerry Jones fumbled.
Fumble balls, Plax?
I don't know if this is a bot or what, but I'd like to shout out locos.vfx on Instagram for trying to justify what happened in Dallas. He says they're missing six players on defense. What could they possibly do? I don't know. All I said was best offense in the league. You know, it's pretty, you know, generic statement. Seems pretty obvious. Yeah. So we're going back and forth. So
yeah, creating some enemies online.
I see. David's always getting Dave. You're always getting enemies online, man.
I love it, bro.
You're a troll.
Keep bringing that energy every week.
But yeah, I mean, shoot, this was a tough one. You could give it to Waymo for dropping one ball in his chest.
Yeah.
You know, or I mean, I'd hate to keep bringing Hutch up, but I mean, that's the worst part of the deal there. So,
yeah,
we had a few penalties, but it wasn't too crazy. We had 8 penalties.
Yeah, so, not major.
But
yep, not
that I remember being in huge spots. So
I'll just go J-Mo for dropping that ball. All right, here we go. Who received the ball? Because this could go around the piece of pie chart here. Who received game ball from you, Adrian?
All right, I want to go Brian Branch. He gets that first interception, I think on the second Dallas drive in the beginning of the game. That just sets the tone for the rest of the game. Like, Dak, you're not going to do anything today. Takes the crowd and the whole stadium out of it, and we blow him out. So Brian Branch is all over the field. He's going to have another big game next week.
Guess I'll go Demo. Just another solid day. 12 carries, 80 yards, 2 TDs. Had the extension. Love how front office is really showing love and rewarding these guys for their efforts. So, but Demo, another strong game. He had another sick run. Spun down at the 1 yard line. Fought in. So many different ways we could go here, but I'll give it to Montgomery this week.
Love it. I'm going to change my who fumbled the game ball. J-Mo doesn't deserve that. I'm going to go McNeil for having one of the toughest shin bones in the world to break Hutchinson's tibia with the front of his shin. I mean, and McNeil didn't feel it. Like, I don't understand how that happens, but anyway, he got the fumble because if his shin wasn't there, we'd still have Hutch. And with the game ball, I am giving it to, because Plax can't say it, doesn't mean I can't. It's going to BJ, the offensive coordinator. That dude was dialing up so many disrespectful plays on offense, like Adrian said. You have a 6'7", 350-pound offensive lineman out in the X, and he's running a route. And they have one of their defensive corners, like, guarding him, like, just the disrespect. I mean, he, like you said, he went in there on a mission and he did it. I mean, it's just amazing to see play calls, the reverses, the flea flickers. I heard someone call into a show today and said, guys, is there any other team that is as fun to watch as the Detroit Lions? And there isn't.
No.
You watch this compared to the Cincinnati Bengals the other night and the Giants, it's sleep TV.
Snooze fest.
Yeah. So awesome. All right. Hit us with a little sponsor real quick, Plax. And we'll talk after.
Sponsor this week, Iron Sanctuary in Flint. Looking for a personal trainer? Looking to transform your body this winter? Check out this week's sponsor, Iron Sanctuary in Flint, Michigan, on Instagram and Facebook. You can also find the owner and operator, Duante, at Duante_gymlife. All one word. Even if you don't live in Flint, trust us, it's worth the drive. He also does virtual trainings, so you can get it in from anywhere. No one gets your results like Duante. He's also got child daycare site and available to handle the little ones while you get a workout in. So shout out Duante. Appreciate the sponsor this week.
Let's get fit, man. Let's get yoked.
Absolutely. All right, we will see you all next week after we play the – who are we playing next? Oh, the Minnesota Vikings.
Woo!
Off on Minnesota. Maybe we'll do – is that a prelude for a pre-game pod?
We'll see. We might have to later this week just to talk about Minnesota.
If those sponsors keep coming in, we're just going to keep on helping them out. All right, boys. Well, it's been fun.
Thanks, y'all.
Podcast. We're out.